Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's up? It's your host, Brother B. How y'all doing out there? Right now, it looks like I'm flying solo until Brother L calls in, you know. And, I kind of want to touch on one topic right now, something I was reading the other day before we get started into the main topic about education. This cat, George Zimmerman, his brother, made some real nasty remarks about, Trayvon Martin. Now, if some of you are not familiar, which, you know, will be surprised for you not to be familiar with it, but George Zimmerman was this dude who is using this Stand Your Ground law from Florida. He was the guy that, as they would say, allegedly, is responsible for the killing of Trayvon Martin. You know, saw the kid walking suspicious, you know, just thought he was suspicious walking through his neighborhood. So I guess he calls himself the neighborhood watchman, walking around with a gun, and got to a little confrontation with the kid and shot him and killed him. Well, you know, for some reason, I guess, you know, how the justice system is, you know, double-edged sword. You know, they just, I guess, as of, January, maybe December, they found him, they decided to indict him for murder. So, you know, his case is ongoing. But his younger brother, made some comments about Trayvon Martin, you know, on Twitter, some little rant that the cat made, talking about he's comparing Trayvon Martin to these two kids that from Georgia, these two black kids that killed a 15-month-old. And what I don't understand is, it's like, what does one thing have to do with the other? You know, what amazes me about the things that come out of some people's mouths is the fact that they feel that they can just say anything that they want, especially when the person is no longer here to defend themselves. And I find it even more interesting how the media seems to entertain it. Because, I mean, hey, I hate to put a color on things, but if the situation was reversed, you know, how much heat would a black man have gotten for making that statement about, you know, a Caucasian individual? And it's sad to say, but there is a double standard there. But, you know, comparing a kid, you know, who's no longer here, who didn't even have anything to do, he was just walking along, minding his own business, and his brother decides to confront him, and, you know, whatever happened, like I said, I wasn't there, I don't know, but everything is so-called alleged. I mean, come on, George Zimmerman is facing second-degree murder charge in the shooting death of a 17-year-old. Zimmerman is like 29, you know, and he's claiming that he shot this kid in self-defense. And then to add insult to injury, his brother wants to come along and make some nasty little comments about Trayvon Martin. Don't even know the kid. The kid's never been in any trouble as far as I know or what it says in the media. And, you know, just trampling over the kid's name and disrespecting his family. And you can apologize all you want, but sometimes words are like bullets. You say it, you can't take it back. And like I said, I just find it really, really interesting how this guy feels the need to run his yap like that and, you know, talk the way he talk, especially about someone who's not here to defend himself at all. But that's how cowards do. You know, it's nothing new. It should be nothing new to us. It's something that's been going on for years. So I guess how they would tell us to take it with a grain of salt and keep it moving. You know, I guess so. It is what it is. But another thing that I want to talk about real quick in terms of the media is how a certain newspaper outlet decided to plaster on the front page like it was mega news about the situation that Dionne Warwick is going through. Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know what makes her personal plight my business or anybody else's business. I don't understand what makes it front page news. The need to put her out there like that. Like, nobody does that to Donald Trump. I don't hear, you know, anybody else's name being put out there like that. But, you know, once again, it's the media. You know, I guess they, you know, like to twist stuff up, you know, expose whoever they want to put out there and, you know, pick and choose. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, as much as it's entertaining, it's sad on another note because, I mean, come on. What are you doing now? She wakes up in the morning. She got her own stuff to go through, and then she has to look on the front page news and see everybody else is up in her business. The news is up in her business. Like, you know, I don't know what this country or these situations is coming to, but it's kind of crazy out here. But I ain't got to tell you because you're going through it every day just like me, you know. But I guess it's time to get into the real topic and boiling into this, you know, education. You know, what's going on in the schools nowadays. It's like a couple of weeks ago. I was looking on the newspaper and just hearing about a situation where there was some assistant principal in Wydance, Long Island, that was posting like illicit pictures of himself or some sexual stuff and like sending it out to teachers and students. And I'm like, whoa, like what's up with that? You know, like what's going on with the teachers and you know, that we that's supposed to be watching our kids, like, are we, like, putting suit and ties on perverts and having them teach our kids? Like, what's going on? I mean, hey, listen, I ain't no judge of anyone. But to make a long story short, like, what the hell is that all about? You know, it's something to really think about and it's something to really question. Like, what type of background checks are they really doing for some of these teachers out here? Wait, you see, I got a caller. 1304, you're on the air.
Good evening, hello? Byron. Good evening, Byron. It's Ange.
Hey, what up, Ange? How are you?
I'm good.
You heard me up here all lonely and you decided to chime in.
But you didn't sound alone.
Huh?
You didn't sound alone.
Oh, yeah, I'm alone. I'm alone. But it's all, you know, I ain't never really alone. I got God with me, but, you know.
Of course.
I'm good. I'm good. So what's up?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Just waiting to hear this topic. Hear what's going on.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm kind of doing out my little research of what's been happening. And like I said, I'm just finding it real interesting. I'm like, yo, the people that are supposed to be watching the kids, supposed to be educating our kids, to turn around like educating our kids on something else. And I'm trying to find out what's up with that.
And it's funny too, because I just had a conversation with my daughter in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, because a teacher of hers had made a comment, and to me, I was like, it was a very personal comment. It was something about his own personal life dealing with, you know, his family, and I could understand if it was something that was going to help her to, you know, grow, or something that was going to be beneficial towards, you know, educating a young person. But I mean, it was very negative and commentary speaking, you know, toward his parents and how he felt about certain things that dealt with his parents. And I really couldn't understand it. And it really didn't make sense to me why he would express this to a kid. But a lot of these teachers today, their ethics are quite questionable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm finding just a lot of questionable things going on with a lot of these teachers. And then, you know, you see it all over the news, and it's scary. It's quite scary. It's quite scary. It's not like it used to be. You know, I remember back when I was in school, we used to go to our teacher's house, hang out, you know, and wasn't no funny business going on, you know, but that was then and this is now. And yeah, I don't know.
Well, back then, you know, well, I mean, I personally never did that, but back then, you know, it was different. I mean, back then it was definitely a different time, a different era. You know, I mean, if you look at the teachers now compared to then, I mean, I don't know if it's a thing where some of them are just trying to get a paycheck and survive, or are some of them out there really giving a damn about the kids out there, about the kids, you know, in their education. I mean,
well, you know
like
what?
It's,
with the cuts, with the economy, with the way that they've, you know, treated the whole educational system, can you really, I mean, you almost kind of can't blame them. They're doing as much as I guess they feel that they need to do only because they're not getting what they're supposed to get and haven't been.
Well, I mean, all right. I agree with that. And it seems like, you know, education is starting to take a real back seat to
absolutely.
You know, in this country, like, education is not important. You know, it's all about, you know, feeding the war machine. You know, once again, going back to that thing of big business. It's like, I like educating our kids, like, they don't give a damn anymore because it's not a priority. You know, I mean, if you're giving the teacher like $30,000-$40,000, I mean, nowadays, $30,000 to $40,000. And this economy, it's hard. You know, we don't no longer have that Social Security tax break anymore. So, of course, they're taking more out of people's checks. You know, it at one point it seemed like maybe you could make it with one. But now you need like two, damn near two and a half, you know, to just get all the bills and everything else paid. So, of course, I mean, you got these teachers going out there, and they're trying to make their living. Meanwhile, you got these rowdy-ass students. Not all of them, but some of them, they come there just to give these teachers a hard time. Some of them don't want to be there, but they know they have to be there. So it just seems like it's just a hot situation all around.
If you look at the system all, you know, covering all bases, just them away from the educational system. We know that the educational system is not big business. That's why it's constantly being revoked and pushed back, and our kids are suffering, teachers are suffering. That's, you know, it's not big business because it's a payout system. It's not a bring-in system. You know, when you look to, however, the prison system, the prison business system, is a lot more beneficial to our government, which is why they're out checking for our kids from the ages of 14 to 21. You can't send your child to school without your child being frisked or pushed up against the wall, checked for ID, given summons of every kind. They found a new way of, you know, getting at us, a new way of profiling us, a new way of getting what they need. You know, they're going after kids.
They go after the kids. All right. Well, let me just hit on this real quick. All right. So as the story so-called goes, this guy, Craig Cohen, 47, he's an assistant principal at Wide Dance Memorial High School. He stands accused, basically, of sending inappropriate text messages to students and faculty. So this is what he's accused of. Now, My thing is this. I mean, sometimes you can't really see a sign. Sometimes there are no signs. Sometimes there are signs of,
yeah,
you know, the type of people that's, you know, but you got to be even more cautious when you're bringing people around your kids. But I don't get it. Like, I mean, it just really, it kind of befuddles me because it's like,
yeah, and
how
you
did,
can't.
How did this guy slip through the crack? How did this guy slip through the crack?
Right, but I mean, what is the crack at this point? Because that seems like a wide gap. Because you're looking at the news, and every day you got principals being taken down, you got teachers being taken down, janitors being taken. I mean, it's just there's no perimeter there because it's just literally everything, everybody. You don't know who to trust in the school system. It's not just the students that are wild and wild enough. You got the adults that are losing their minds. And it's not even so much that they're losing them. You're not even sure if they ever really had them. But what was the background check for? And was one ever taken?
Look, this is true.
All they're checking for is what criminal history, but there has to be some behavioral patterns that have been going on in this person's career, in this person's life, that have gotten them to the level of where they are at this point for something like this to come about. And that's the psychology department, you know, it seems like they have no use anymore. And there should be a social worker on faculty. But I will say that you might do better to send your kids to a private school or to, you know, charter schools where they actually do have social workers and guidance counselors that, you know, are looking into the backgrounds of staff that are hired into their school system.
But now who's to say that it can't happen there? The only thing
because if you've been a lazy enough person that's not doing their job, of course it can happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a private school, you know, you know, they can, you know, keep that in-house. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, hey, what's the bigger news? If it comes from this place or it comes from this place? You know, now the wide dance area, I believe, you know, it's predominantly, you know, minority. And even though it's no excuse. There's no excuse whatsoever.
No.
Because simple and plain, when you're a teacher, you're held to a higher, you know, regard. Like, you're basically in charge / the parent of our kids for, 7 to 8 hours?
A day.
Yeah, a day, Monday through Friday. So, you know, explicit photos, explicit text messages, you know, like, what the hell's on your mind? You know, what's really on your mind? And what are the schools actually going to do to rectify the situation? Because this is not the first time, of course, that this has happened. But it seems to be, you know, on and off again. You know,
they're going to do whatever feeds the media. That's the answer to that. They're going to do whatever feeds the media. They're going to do whatever resolve, you know, the media's take for us. Whatever it is that, you know, is going to get them some extra funding or, you know, less negative promotion, that's what they're going to do, you know. And really, that's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Each part of every business entity that deals with tragedy, that deals with suffering, that deals with issues of whatever kind, each of them has their own obligations, and they do according to what their needs are, what, you know, what's meeting their funding, what's meeting their qualifications. So the media will keep it going as long as it's going to help continue to feed their pocket.
Brother L, you with us?
Yes. Good evening. I'm
good
sorry.
Evening,
I'm just dropping in. Good evening, my lady. How are we?
I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, you guys got to pardon me. It's been a rough couple of days. Like, my mind is it's like a bag of Skittles that's been spilled on the floor. I'm all over the place. So, you know, it's been a rough couple of days. But, yeah, we was getting into this educational system. Like I said, I remember years ago, like when my mother passed away. And, you know, my guidance counselor, my sister had went to my guidance counselor, told her about the situation. And my guidance counselor made sure I graduated out of school. Like, you know, she would pay, give me that extra attention. She would come by my class to ask the teacher, like, hey, how he's doing. You know, she would, you know, schedule some talks with me to see where my head was at, you know, find out why am I not doing this, why am I cutting this class. She stayed on top of me like she gave a damn. And I will never forget that. Her name's Miss Rifkin. Wherever you at, thank you. Because if it wasn't for you, I probably wouldn't have finished school at all. But she stayed on me. She made sure. I mean, it was one point where I wasn't even expected to graduate, but she went around to all my teachers and got, it was probably like 20 homeworks a piece, like homeworks for all, for the whole year from each class that I had as makeup. And I had to do all of those homeworks from each class in order to graduate. And she stayed on top of me like she gave a damn. And the thing is, her giving a damn made me try even more because I didn't want to let her down because she believed in me that much. And I'm like, do those teachers still exist? Like, are they still out there? And if they are, like, we really need you to be at the forefront of this fight for our kids. Because, I mean, it's not cool to wake up in the morning and check the news and you're talking about some assistant principal or doing, you know, sending messages or a principal, you know, having sex with one of the students. That's not something you really want to hear.
Yeah. Now, as I can recall growing up, I don't remember hearing so much, you know, of, you know, teacher on child molestation as
what
now.
What you got going on in the background, bro?
Who, me?
Yeah. You on an aircraft carrier or something?
No, actually, I don't know, maybe just a little bit of feedback. Maybe I need to pull my phone away from the computer. How's that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what it is. Phone interfering with the computer.
Yeah,
ladies and gentlemen, please keep
shame
the two away
you.
From each other, or else you'll get that type of feedback.
Yeah, shame on you.
Yeah.
Now, as you were saying, sir.
Yes, as I was saying, you know, like, how it is, how was back then, you didn't hear so much of, you know, teacher on child molestation. I don't remember ever hearing it when I was growing up. Not until maybe like mid-90s when I was in high school, you heard about it maybe once. But now you're hearing about it ever more often. And I'm wondering, is it the media or is it just becoming more prevalent in the school system now?
Well, you said it, Brother L, it's definitely geared to media because the media in these last few decades have definitely changed. They've become a lot more prominent. It's not all about politics. They've widened their business to make residential situations a lot more relevant. You know, they've gone into the household. Back in the day, it was hardly ever written up in the papers about something that happened residentially. You know, it was kept undercover. It wasn't that it wasn't going on. We just didn't hear about it because it wasn't media privy.
Okay. So in other words,
too much involved because if you're in a small town and you're writing up on the local politics, well, the local politics are who are governing the town. So they made sure things were, you know, kept underneath the lid, kept under the hat.
Okay.
You know,
but
because that was bad business for their town.
But what is this? But see, my thing is, what is this saying to the kids? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we already know, like, the dropout rate in certain areas is like, out of control. Like, there's really need, like, there's really no need to go into, like, these whole percentages because the numbers can be fudged. But you know what I'm saying? We all know what's going on in our communities and around us.
Well, you know what? I mean, on this note here, it being maybe just put more towards the forefront. I wouldn't really want to say put more towards the forefront, but you're hearing about it more. Maybe in some aspects, it could almost be a help because kids can become more aware of these deviant situations that are going on, and they can become more aware and to, you know, keep themselves away from situations like that.
Yeah, with all that's going on TV, I mean, it's like, hey, why not? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, it's what's that saying? Art imitating life. But a lot of this is just trash imitating life. Or is it life imitating trash, really?
It's, truthfully, I feel on that note, it is kind of vice versa. It does kind of go hand in hand. One hand washes the other. You know, it's like almost saying, like, which one came first, the chicken or the egg, almost. You know, you really can't even tell which one came first now, you know, because it just goes, like, back and forth with it, you know. But as for me, just saying on that note of, you know, this thing being more outward now, I just think that it could just try to turn a bad almost to like a good, or make children more aware, and so that they won't get caught up in that type of situation where it can lead to them getting molested. You know,
it's the parents' responsibility to educate our children. Just like you told your kids, you know, when they were little Johnny, if anybody touches you, you make sure you let me know. You tell me. Well, when they get to a certain age, listen, Johnny, you're not little no more. If Miss Rivera comes on to you, you need to let somebody know something, because that's not the way to let it go down, son. You know?
Yeah,
we've opened their minds up to, you know, those vague realities and senses of purpose. So we allow them to think that, you know, shows like Scandal are okay. It's okay to sleep with a married man who's the president, who, you know, it's okay. You know, because we like that kind of stuff on TV. It's okay if you see it in the movie. Obviously, you think that they're not going to try to, you know,
But that's the thing. That's adult programming. Those are for minds that can deal with it. I mean, all of that goes back into society because that's the way it's been going. I mean, it seems like everything that you tried to do in the dark a long time ago, now all of a sudden it's big business and brought to the light.
It's in the light.
Now, it's like, all right, I mean, ain't nobody a stranger to, you know, the whole thing of, like, people, you know, having extramarital affairs or boyfriends cheating on girlfriends or whatever. Yeah, it's something that happens, but now when you, every time you turn on TV, it seems like that's the story. That's what sells. That's what everybody wants to see. They want to see these images of what's really happening, what's really going on. So the kids that are watching this, which is supposed to be adult programming, seems to be on day and night. Now these kids are seeing this and they think it's okay. Or it's giving them an idea to want to try something different. Like, hey, you know, it's on TV, you know, so they're doing it on TV, so I can do it too. Or they're doing it in a reality show, so I can do it too. And, you know, it's not like they put a disclaimer up there like, hey, this look, this is TV. This ain't real life. You know, you do this, you know, there's a consequence to that. They rarely show the consequence of what happens, you know, when you act a certain way. And when it comes down to, like, looking at a lot of these situations with the schools, these kids are supposed to go there to learn and be educated. But what they're going there for is, it's like extracurricular activities. They're going there to do more than just socialize. They're going there to learn about a whole bunch of other things that some teachers may want to offer during first, second, or third period. I mean, I don't understand how you got the mayor who he wants to focus on you having a big soda or you having a Big Mac meal or, you know, how many calories is in a shake. But what is he doing about the educational system?
Because the educational system, again, is not big business. The soda industry is big business. Music industry.
But when did it stop? Because I mean, wasn't it at one point? And somebody correct me if I'm wrong. Like we used to have a great educational system. Like, you know, other people would come from other countries just to get their, you know, schooling here. Now
other people will come
from
other countries
abroad.
But they were coming from other countries having better educational systems than we had here. They just did not have the opportunities that we had here to afford their education. So they had to come here in order to get something back. And then they come here, and we would tell them what they had wasn't good enough. You had doctors coming from Africa. Well, those doctors had to become janitors in order to get licenses to practice medicine,
they wouldn't honor it
coming from another country. Meanwhile,
yeah.
Years later, we find out, oh, but the American education is lacking to the point of, we were like, what, something like number 54? Oh, come on, those numbers are ridiculous. I don't know exactly what they were, but I know we were pretty far down. Educational system compared to other countries' educational system. Other countries are looking at us, laughing at us because of our educational system. We in here talking about no child left behind. Well, no child left behind, that's fine. That child won't be left behind, but then they're being passed through and they're not learning anything. I remember a young man, 18 years old, graduated high school, and came to me and asked me to help him fill out an application because he couldn't read. How does that happen? How is that even possible for that to happen? But it happens every day in this country.
Maybe he played. Maybe he, you know, he knew how to handle the ball.
It's because the educational system in this country, I believe, this is just my theory. They knew that the children were failing. So they had to do something to make the numbers look better. It's all about the numbers.
It is all about the numbers, and let me explain something else to you.
And so what they did was, I believe what they did was they sacrificed the true education just to get the numbers and the passing grade. And it's, there is a fallout from it, and that's us being unprepared out there in the workforce. You know, a lot of children or a lot of kids coming up, they're not getting the education that they really should be getting because they're getting just passed through. And a lot of the times it's falling in these urban areas.
Of course it does. And then, can I ask you, Brother Al? What businesses would that benefit from our default?
How does that benefit us?
No. What business is it that usually tends to benefit from that default? From our children not getting properly educated, from them being passed through the system, from them not knowing how to read, how to write, how to do the things that they need to do to survive and to make it and able to become employable. Who exactly is it? What business is it that benefits from that?
Really, I would say probably maybe like the low-paying businesses. Maybe, or just the educational system. In a sense saying, yes, look, our kids are passing now. Look, yes, the numbers are up for a graduation.
Just because they're passing doesn't mean that they're being educated.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. It's just a numbers game. And numbers usually means money. Because if you're passing more kids, then I believe the educational system gets more money.
Okay.
You know,
yeah,
you pass more kids, you get
prison?
More money. The city, the government gives the state money to fund, you know, the little cities,
I mean,
with, you know,
I
get books
I mean,
for the kids.
You gotta think
like
about
that.
This though. I mean, think about this. Why would they give? Why would the government fund money to a failing school? Why?
14 year old.
Build a prison in the same town as your child's high school. Same reason that they'll put more police on the force to go and look for 14 to 21 year old black men.
I'm not hearing nobody talk about the parents and what they're doing at home before these kids actually go to school to get the motivation to want to learn.
Because the parents usually
not
home.
Yeah, the parents. Sometimes the parents like you, Mo, with our brother, like
what's
are
up,
probably
brother?
out the door before you even get to, you know what I'm saying, before your kids even get to go, you know, before they go to school. Like, you got to get up early and be out the door. Like, you know, remember, years ago it seemed like, just like you're just saying, your mother or your father, somebody used to be home to see you to the bus. Somebody used to be able to pack that lunch. Nowadays, it's like you got to do everything, you know, kids got to do everything on their own. It's like there's no real support system.
I mean, a prime example is the current day right now, because here we're all on vacation. The kids are on vacation, but as soon as they go back, they got about maybe three to five days to prepare for these major tests that they got.
Yes,
exactly. So whatever children that are sitting around playing video games all week, they ain't ready already. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's like going to be up to the parents now to step up and make them read, make them study. You know what I mean? And it's not easy because there are a lot of, you know, young families and a lot of young people out there trying to work and all that. But it has to start somewhere. I mean, my daughter, you know, had a teacher tell her she was lazy when she was 4 years old in the classroom, and that teacher was 23 years old.
Wow.
See that?
I went on a field trip to the city with my son's class, and the teachers were window shopping while all the kids were running around all over the sidewalks where, at any given time, one of them could have got killed out there.
Yeah. See, that just goes to show that from when we was growing up to now, things have changed.
A lot.
You know.
Yeah, drastically.
Things have changed.
In the society,
it is not the same.
The society
really
we're in.
The same.
This society we're in is like designed for our children in this country to fail.
Yes,
of course.
I mean, I just got done last night dealing with a whole committee with the Black Institute and the immigration reform, and there were some young brothers up there that were brought to this country with their parents whose mother was a teacher, that they went from New York City to the Caribbean and brought up several hundred families to this country, into this city, promising them citizenship in 2 to 5 years. And there's one teacher that went 12 years without citizenship, and then her son aged out, and he's 21, trying to go to college, and he got a notice saying he got to go back to his country in 90 days, and he left there when he was like 5 years old.
See?
Wow.
And you have a lot of these teachers out here. They're undocumented.
That's not even right.
And yeah. And the problem is the media don't care about it. The newspapers ain't putting it on the front page. They'll rather put Kim Kardashian on the front page of the newspaper. Because it's just
right.
like the young lady said before, that's not what's selling. There's not no money in education for big businesses. Who's going to profit is the prison system, the private prison systems.
Yeah, true.
It's true.
Because
they are run as like a business now, making things,
yeah.
You know, prisoners making things, and they're getting what, 25 cents, 50 cents or whatever?
Yeah.
A day or something like that? I'm not exactly
sure
the numbers.
But you also got these big companies that are up in the mix. I mean, you got like the Verizons, you got the AT&Ts, you got the Sprints. I mean, they're supplying
yes.
the phone
using
calls.
Using the prisoners
as customer
sales.
Yeah, exactly. And I find it interesting, and they want to talk about the unemployment rate. It's like, how are you now? Don't get me wrong. I mean, hey, everybody needs a job, but you're trying to tell me that you'll give someone who's incarcerated a job before you give somebody that's out in the world that's non-incarcerated that needs a job?
Well,
I don't get the balance.
Well, as you can see, if the money is right, yes.
It will be, because it's cheaper labor.
Yeah, well, prisons, you know what I mean, toilet paper companies make billions of dollars a year just with prisons.
Yep.
It's a big business.
Yep. And it's sad that, you know, that's what we're up against, and it's going to take a whole lot of, you know, educated people to educate the children to be prepared for these things that are going on. But the schools want to send these kids home and tell the parents the kids need access to computers to be able to do these work that they want them to do. So now, you know, they're amping these kids up to get more involved in technology, but they're still not even able to read on the level they're supposed to be on.
True. Hey, I just want to throw the number out there, 646-378-1882. That's 646-378-1882 if you want to call in. But, yo, Mo, you got a great point there, because check this. What I find real funny is how they want you to be educated. They, you know, they talk a good game about education. They want you to be educated. They want you, like, when you go get a job, you have to have this background or you have to have that background. But at the same time, they make it so hard for you to attain it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's say you got a classroom. I'm like years ago, the classrooms were how big? We probably had like 15 kids in the class, something like that.
I remember from what I remember, it was like the max we ever had, I think, was like maybe 31, 32.
Yeah, if you had 31, 32, you was like at the top of the whole school. You're right.
Now, you may have, now out of all of those kids, how many do you think are coming in there like serious minded, like, yo, I need to focus, I want to study? Because you got probably like a good maybe, let's say 5 to 10 that want to come in there and really do their work, but you got the other 15, you know, at goofing off, disturbing the classroom, you know, making sure that you know everything gets disrupted, or trying to, you know, show off to, you know, somebody else, and messing it up for the people who really want to learn.
Right.
Like, we've all been there. We've all done that.
And then the scheduling. Like, I had to actually ask my son's teacher, what was the reason and who actually did the schedule layout of their classes that they got math class right after gym. Like,
that's not going
to
be prepared.
You expect these kids to run around the gym, get exhausted, get sweaty, get all their adrenaline pumping, then you want to bring them into a classroom and sit down and start teaching them some of the hardest math that they never seen before, and expect them to absorb that in 45 minutes.
Hey, listen, you you've been looking at your kids' homework. That's that new math. Like, bro, I look at my daughter's, what, 10?
In
fourth grade,
I'll be looking
at some homework like, yo, what the hell is this?
I agree with you. I'm pretty much going to school with them right now.
Yeah, I need to learn something.
Yep.
Like, yo, it looks foreign. It looks foreign. it really looks foreign. And it's like, what
and a lot of the math that they're drilling into these kids is basically things that are not even like what we use in the everyday world anymore.
I know
if you want to be a scientist, you want to be, you know, you really got to learn a lot of these things. But, you know, I think, you know, reading and the education of, you know, the future and the history of this country should be at the forefront of most, you know, classes. They're still teaching, you know what I mean, like social studies is still based on the same American history that we learned. And we already know that. Nowadays, that's all kind of fraudulent.
true, but, you know, the kids are not being taught real life skills. Like, you know, with the job, like the type of jobs that are out there that are going to, you know, get some of them through, they're not really applying that in the schools. You know, and if so, they're in specialized schools that kids, like, you have to keep a certain grade average to get in. And it's like, if you don't keep this grade average, then that means you can't get into this school. If you can't get into this school, then you can't get the type of job that you really want. And if you can't get the type of job that you really want, then, hey, why, you know what, why should I try? If they keep setting up all these roadblocks, why should I keep trying? Because that's basically what you're doing. It's like they're discouraging the kids.
They're discouraging them.
You know, yeah, they're discouraging them straight up and down. Like, yo, what was the school what's the school in Brooklyn? Something Stuyvesant. It's like you gotta keep a serious, like, in order to get into that school, you gotta have a serious grade point average to get into that school. Even like what, New York City Tech, schools like that. I mean, back in the days, like your grades had to be serious to get in there.
Yep.
But if you wanted to do something in that field, yeah, you had to keep your grades up. All right, so what if you got some people, not everybody's perfect, but, you know, what happens to the people that are trying, that really want to get in there? Do you give them a chance? Do you create an avenue for them to get in there? Or you just say, I'm sorry, your grades are not good enough. You don't cut the mustard, or you don't meet the criteria. So as soon as you don't meet the criteria, it's like basically they're telling you to kick rocks.
Wow.
Well, that's what they are telling you.
And that's what they are, yep.
Because it seems like they're telling the kids, you know, like I said, on the regular, it's like, yo, kick rocks.
Well,
I mean, there's
nowadays,
like no law and order.
I mean, well, I don't have, like, no older children, nothing like that, like around, like, 16, 17, 18. But from what it looks like, either they're getting pushed away, pushed off to the side, or just push through, and then when they come out of high school unprepared, it's for them, it's almost like a slap in the face. I can't say every child, but if a child falls to the wayside, they're in dire straits.
Yep.
They are, like, totally lost.
I think a lot of the problems started recently putting the junior high schools and the elementaries in the one building. They're trying to, like,
yeah.
I mean, when my daughter was, you know, going to lunch in second grade, she was in lunch with seventh graders and, you know, eighth graders. And, I mean,
I know
just being, you know, I mean, when I was a boy, whenever I got around eighth or ninth graders, I had my ears wide open listening to everything. And,
Yes. You
know, I picked up a lot of bad habits from them older kids. And that was outside playing. When we were out of school, in school, I knew it was only going to be the kids that were all around my age.
Right, and so there's, from that, you know,
it's a bad influence on the younger ones, and they're trying to get up to that bar too early. And, you know, it's everything around us nowadays. No one, truthfully,
consolidating the schools like that was just a way to save money. You know,
but
that's all that was. It was just to save money.
But they never really shut down any of the schools, though. So,
no, they didn't shut them down. But when you consolidate, like, schools like that, well, instead of sending, you know, seventh to ninth grade to one school, and first grade to eighth grade to another school, when you push them all into one school like that, that's consolidation.
Right. But what
and
was the purpose of it?
To save money.
Well, what money, like, what money are you really saving? I mean,
because upon that, they close schools when they do that.
Oh, the failing schools?
Yes, they close schools. They consolidate schools. You know, I mean, look, Jamaica High School, that's going to be closing soon, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Now, you close that. Where do these kids got to go? Now, they probably got to
exactly.
go someplace far
you
to go
still have
school.
Those same amount of students. So what are they going to do? They're going to ship them to other schools.
Mm-hmm.
That are far away. And if they, you
They'll
know,
probably
if,
either go, some of the students might go to Hillcrest, most likely, because that's the closest. August Martin, you know, whatever schools are around that area. You know,
all right,
but
so what's the purpose of zoning? Like, you turn around, you close one school. Like, you know how they have these zones now? You got to live in a certain area to go to a certain school. So it's like, all right, you remove one school, you shut down one school, and now the kids got to be bussed all over the place to a different school. I mean, you flood one school.
Yeah, because now you see they're going into an economic thing, and now it's making business for the school bus companies, the traveling aspect of everything. It's just like after Sandy, it's the same thing like after Sandy, you know, up in Rockaway Beach, you still got a lot of people that ain't even been able to move back into their homes yet, but they working on this boardwalk like it's going to be the end of the world if they don't get it done by Memorial Day.
It's all about money.
You know, and it's exactly what it is. At the end of the day, it's boiling down to that. And how do we get, you know.
It all roots back to money. It's all about dollars.
Yeah, but you can't sacrifice the kids. Yeah, but we can't sacrifice the kids. You can't sacrifice the kids because, remember years ago, all these songs about the children or the future and this, that, and the third.
So what
are we putting out there?
You would think in certain aspects, they would say, well, you know what? Let's invest in the kids. Invest in the kids, meaning let the kids go to school for free. You know? Uh-huh. Even college kids. I believe college kids shouldn't be paying so much tuition and so much money.
Well, that's
why they call
it continuing education. Because if you want to continue that education, you're going to pay for it. If you want this, you got it. You're going to pay for it. Because, you know, later on down the road, you're going to make money off it anyway. So, you know,
there should be like, I don't want to say incentives, but whatever field that you go into for college, I feel once you get into that field, then that's when you, once you start, you know, get that job, then you give back to the school. You know, you pay it back. And that's how I feel it should be all the way through, you know.
I mean, it's a nice idea.
Even like, you know how like doctors do internships. Why, you know, I feel like every job that you want to get into, then you should intern.
Right.
You know, they got to pay the rent. They got to pay their rent. They can't afford to intern. Like the way it's set up, you know, the way it's set up is like, how could you intern when, you know, you got to carry your weight because you're sharing an apartment with three other, you know, college grads, and you're sharing a two-bedroom with three other people, and you got to pay your portion of the rent.
That's true.
It's like you said, what's the incentive? I mean, yeah, you go to school for this. You want to achieve that, but in the same time, they're going to get you in the long run. Somewhere along the line, they're going to get you in the long run. And like most started out saying, you know, the parents, but then it's a chain of command. It goes from the parents to the teachers, and it's like, what's next? What's after that? Because if the parents ain't home during the spring break saying, hey, listen, you better, you know, you got a week off, but I'm telling you, four out of these 7 days, you better be in them books. I don't care if you go outside. I don't care if you play your video games. But four out of these 7 days, you better be in some books. You better have 2 hours dedicated to study.
I think what we need to do in this country is get to some of these other countries like Japan, you know, or maybe even...
They go to school all year round.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that they go to school, but see their curriculum and see how they do it.
Well, that's what
so,
they, That's kind of like what they've been doing now, because these new tests this year, the whole country is basically on the same level now, where it used to be every state was different, but they realized that the country is failing. So now it's a nationwide, you know, level. So now
all these, it should be.
It should have been, but the thing is, they just changed it like overnight, and now it's a lot of pressure on the kids because they're not really prepared, but they have no choice but to be prepared. And that's what
I feel for them right now. The ones that have to go through this change is bad for them. But the kids that are coming up now, hopefully, the ones that are not in school now, hopefully they'll be prepared for it.
Well, the thing is, be prepared
for what? Or even the ones that are in school, because it's very, for children right now, to switch to that is very hard for them to do. When you go from learning one thing, then all of a sudden you've been given this new curriculum that you've never even seen before, or maybe even some other kids who have had that curriculum, and now they have to go through it again, you know?
Yeah, I'm like telling my daughter, like, listen, you got to know this math. You got to know you got to start from the bottom. And then she's like, oh, we started from the bottom and then we made it to the top. I'm like, what are you talking about?
But you know what? We have
you know,
to
like, they know what's going on when it, you know what I mean, when it comes to, you know, the entertainment and what's going on out there in this world, you know, being up to par with everything, but they leaving something out, you know what I mean, the most important part of their lives, their education.
Well, you know why? Because education is, you know, there's nothing.
It's boring to them.
Yeah, it is boring. Because the whole thing is this. If somebody's sitting there, if you're sitting in the classroom for about what period is like, probably 40 minutes, something like that. If you're sitting
40
in the classroom,
to 45 minutes.
Yeah, you're sitting in the classroom, and they're telling you or talking to you about something that really doesn't interest you. The thing is, it's up to the teacher to put it in the context to make
that,
it interesting.
I was,
right.
See, there you
right.
go. Bam. That's what I was just about to say.
But see, we're,
have
we're,
to put
we're,
it
we're
in a way where the child mm-hmm. can perceive it. You know, they have to put it in with what's going on in there now.
Right.
Not so much the right now, but in there now.
Well, you know how like the
so
farmer, how the old farmer told his son, you know, you're gonna be a farmer when you grow up. When he grew up, he became a farmer, and then he taught his son to be a farmer.
Yes.
And then so now with these kids today, they need to be starting from the third grade. What pick a line of future that you want. You want to be a doctor, lawyer, fireman. You know how they for us, they used to be joking around. Oh, I want to be a policeman when I get older. But how many actually turned into policemen? Very few.
Quite a few, actually. Well, yeah, a little bit, but
right.
I mean, yeah.
But that's what the young generation of parents are losing. That
yes.
like pick
mind
a career.
Mind stimulation of a child. Yeah.
Right.
Mind
and,
stimulation of a mind. Stimulate their mind.
And maybe the school should divide up the classes in career aspect instead of age aspect. Like you got seven girls that want to be, you know, secretaries or the typists in courts, you know, when they typing fast.
Yeah.
So you teach them that.
Yes.
You got
well,
some
that's, that's life skills. Those are life skills right there, bro. I mean, they really. I mean, I haven't been to school in years, but I don't really think they teach in that. Like, and remember, like they had
computer engineering. How did they work on a computer, put it together to make it work? Do,
right.
You know?
It's like they're still working off of 30 years ago techniques, and they're still trying to get these kids to advance.
Yeah, we
got.
But
you know what's crazy?
Switch that up.
It's boring for them now.
But it's more than boring because they go to school and then they come home and they see their parents working two and three jobs, like two and three. Like I won't sit there and say that any job is meaningless, but they'll see that they're working these two or three jobs instead of having that one job, that
like
one career.
My friend,
they promote jobs, but they don't promote careers.
Exactly. Like my son's teacher was teaching them about money, you know, which like okay. So where did, you know, I'm saying to myself, I wonder where she was going with this. When my son is home, he's asking me how much money I make a year. And now, you know how that is. You know what I mean? That's something that you got, you probably would have got smacked in the mouth and put in bed.
Yeah.
You don't ask that.
That's a no-no question.
That's something you need. You don't never cross that line. And these kids today are just so free where they're almost 10-year-old kids thinking they're on the same level as their parents.
Yeah.
Because of what the, you know, society is putting out for everybody. Like, there's no adult conversations without a kid standing there listening. Like, I knew for sure, even if I knew what was being said, I'd act like I didn't. Because if I mentioned one word that was talked about, I got in big trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what? Once again, like, you know, outside, once these kids go outside the door, it's all on them. I mean, they go to school. I mean, my daughter had an incident in school. Well, she had wrote something on a piece of paper. Her mother had found it, like, in her while she was doing the laundry, she found it in her pants. She contacts me. I'm going up to the school. I'm looking at my daughter like, yo, where did this come from? Who wrote this? And she's crying. And I'm saying, also, where did you even learn this word from?
Right.
Like, where did you even hear this word from? You got the kids, like, yo, we couldn't curse on the school bus back in the day. Like, you couldn't, like, especially if you was taking, like, the public bus to go to school, you couldn't curse on the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these kids are saying whatever they want to say, however they want to say it, and nobody's saying nothing because,
well, that's
like,
because
the
it comes from the home.
Kids.
And also, they change how we parent our children also now.
Yep.
That's
yeah,
the biggest
know,
problem. I think that's where it really starts.
They,
that's the biggest problem.
You grab your grab your kid, drag him to the room, put him in bed, they're going to say, that's abuse.
Yes.
And you don't know what abuse is.
Exactly. Yes. Absolutely.
You know, one of my ears is bigger than my other ear, and that's for a reason. and I learned my lesson.
but that's the sad part. It's like, you know, kids can't even be young anymore because they got to grow up quick because what's going on around them. Like, it's like
right.
they can't be kids anymore. It's like they come out the wound and they boom, they got to be adults. But it's like every situation that you turn on the TV, you know, it's something going on with some reality show or these gangster shows or it's this or it's that. I mean,
uh-huh.
Come on. Like, let's get real here. Like, when did it become good to be the bad guy?
Right.
You know, when did it become okay, you know, to be in the classroom and you send, you taking pictures of yourself and you send it to somebody. And then or you taking pictures of somebody doing something in the bathroom and you sending it to the whole damn school. Like, for real?
Yeah,
like,
we lost the bar. The bar's gone.
Yeah.
Like,
there's no standards. It's like there's no standards. You know, everybody.
I wouldn't say that there's no standards. I would say the standards are just now substandards.
Right.
Well, I
that's what it is. It's just that
the standards
now have been, you know, put so low now, where it's like you can. I don't want to. It's like things are just not what they used to be. You know,
right? Because the world is glamorizing everything that doesn't take education to have anymore.
Exactly.
You know, like you could be a rapper and you could drive around in a $250,000 car. You know, you could be on TV and you could
and
be
you
having a $7 million home, you know.
You
so
don't
now,
have school for it.
Right. You know what I mean? So they're glorifying these things and, you know, these kids see that and they're saying to themselves, like, why would I want to go get up every morning and go to work when I could just try to, you know what I'm saying, do this instead. And they're
kids do try that. You see these kids out there pushing CDs when you go to the mall.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I was at the mall the other night. It was like a Tuesday night about 2 weeks ago. Here's this kid about like 16, 17 years old. Yo, excuse me, son. Hey, yo. Buy my CD, $5, you know. I'm trying to make it out there. And I told the kid, look, I commend you on trying to make it.
Right.
But I got business to conduct. And I'm sorry, but I'm not willing to buy.
Meanwhile, he's probably standing there with
some Jordans on.
He probably got his jeans on.
Probably got a $30 brand new fitted on, but he out there trying to make it. But then the kid that came here from overseas, from Africa, he wearing the same hand-me-down clothes, not caring about that type of stuff, and he's in college.
Yes.
You know, because they have, there's still majority of the countries that's struggling trying to get to this land for an opportunity. If they do get here, they're not going to give up on that opportunity, and they're going to become successful.
That's because, you know what?
Okay. These kids today don't know what the struggle is.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit. Now,
okay.
See, because you stumbled upon something. With kids from other countries, when they come over here, they get into the education system, they take, I would say, almost advantage of it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And you want to know why? It's because the way how they was brought up.
Yep.
Okay?
Values,
if they
morals.
Was to act up in school in their country.
You get a ruler to the head.
Exactly.
The hand.
Exactly. Yep. Over here, we just become, like I said, you know, the standards have just gone down so much. And we push, you know, you can't do this to the child, you can't do that to a child. But you know what? Children need, when it comes to school, they need sternness.
Well, remember that saying? What is that? It takes a village to raise a child? Now, they totally done X that one out. It's like, nah, basically the attitude is like you're on your own. It ain't about the village. It ain't about the village no more.
Don't get me wrong.
I love dogs. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? You got some of these libertarians out here that are like, yo, they'll have more rights for dogs than they have for kids. They have more rights for animals than they have more rights for kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, how do you balance that out? Like, how do you explain outsourcing to a kid that's trying to find a job?
You know what? Let's leave that topic for next week.
I wasn't even getting into it.
I wasn't getting into it, but I'm saying,
how do you explain this? You know what I'm saying? Once again, I know someone who their daughter was very active in school. She had a class where she was going to the class, and the teacher would just sit down and say, all right, you guys are on study time, and be on the phone.
That's almost like a college level thing, because I know college.
At high school.
I know certain schools or certain colleges, they'll do that.
You did?
I experienced that as an adult last year in a carpentry course that I was taking. And that's what the teacher did. He's like, hey, y'all can just go ahead and start building this and that. And he's sitting there playing on YouTube and that. And there's like 16 adult men looking at each other like, yeah, do you know what to do? Trying to figure out how to do it. I said, no. I walked over to that teacher and said, you going to teach this class or do I got to report you? He said, what? I'm saying, I mean, you taking it that serious? I said, I ain't coming here for 12 weeks, 2-3 nights a week to leave here with nothing. I can do this at home trying to figure it out myself. I can go to YouTube probably and educate myself, but I'm taking a course to learn hands-on.
Fact.
He just came here to get paid.
Yeah, you know, he snapped out of it. So I think, like, at any point in time, most people in this society will give up on doing something if they can get away with giving up on something.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Bad part, you know, because they're still gonna get paid. So they're like, well, if I get through this 7 hours or whatever without really doing much today, it's just another day. I could die. I have more. I won't be tired later. I can go and hang out with my woman, or I can go hit this spot up and do this and that. Because everyone's got their.
Unfortunately, that's what some teachers. I'm not gonna say all teachers do that, but some teachers do that. you know.
There's a lot of teachers that teach the young ones don't have the experience, because when we were them, the kids' ages, like, you know, 10, 15, our teachers were like grandparents already.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You only had like an 80-year-old. There were, out of all the teachers, there was always one to two 80-year-old teachers that was just hanging in there. Just,
right. She just looked at you, and you folding your hands. You over here like, oh, damn. You got sweat trickling down your back. Like, I'm going to learn this test. So I'm going to pass this test.
Brother B,
you ain't even worried about your parents, because the teacher said that. You know what I mean? Now they're young. They're not getting paid as much. So it goes right back to the same thing. The education system.
Brother B.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry. I just got to take us back a little bit, because there's one teacher that I really respected back in our junior high school. That was Mr. Oboba.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of people used to make fun of him.
But you know what, though? I realized? He loved to teach.
You see the impression he had? You see the impression he made, though?
He
How many
loved
years
to
later?
Teach. Yeah. The one thing I still remember, one-tenth of an amper can kill you.
See that? And that's funny, because I was a pretty bad little kid, because I'm the youngest of eight. I don't want to go too deep into my personal, but I was a little bad when I was young, and I got left back in the third grade because of my behavior, because I didn't want to do no work. So of course I wasn't going to pass nothing. I got left back, and then when I repeated third grade, they put me in what was called resource room, which basically a teacher would come and take me from the classroom, and individually with maybe two or three other kids will teach me like that. And I had this lady named Miss Elliott, and she was a former slave, African-American former slave from Dallas, Texas.
Crazy.
And she was the biggest impact of my whole life.
Wow. That is, wow. Hold on. Could you repeat that one more time, please? Just in case we have listeners out there who did not hear that. Please say that one more time.
Okay. Now, I got left back in the third grade because of behavior.
Right.
And I had to repeat the third grade, and they had what was called resource room, and I had a lady named Miss Elliott, who was an African-American former slave from Dallas,
former
Texas.
Former slave. Wow.
And woman slave. And what she told me, the first thing was, she goes, I don't believe in television. I believe in books. And I'm going to give you a snack every day as long as you read what I tell you to read and explain it to me after you read it.
Oh,
wow.
Cool.
I got a devil dog. I got a devil dog every day. I think I had acne by the time I was 9.
Oh,
but, she gave you some incentive, though, right? She gave you an incentive.
I was 27 years old, and I went to her funeral.
Wow.
My mom knew her. My dad knew her. My sisters knew her. And she was probably the most devoted person in that school system during my time that I could remember.
But
and
see,
that's what these kids are lacking. Someone that really cares.
Cares. Yes.
Yeah.
For these children.
Because I have to tell you something also. I myself was also in a resource.
Mm.
I myself was also in resource. I was in resource from, let me see, I think maybe... second grade, all throughout my schooling, actually.
See, I was always in junior high school, and then I actually got skipped in junior high school because I got so much higher up on my grade levels that I got back to my right grade.
But they don't even have that stuff like that no more, right?
No,
I don't know if they do or if they don't,
the
but I'm going to tell you what. I remember my junior high school resource teacher, Mrs. Steiner, and she did not give up on me. And so to her, I have to say, Ms. Steiner, if you're out there, I want to thank you for not giving up on me and keeping me on the right path and bringing me to be the man that I am today.
And you know what? That right there, the thing that the three of us just said, that's the reward that they were looking for.
Yep.
Not the paycheck. that's
right, exactly.
Reward. Because they made an impact on us how many years later? How many decades later?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we still remember these people because they gave
it's not even
them.
A decade. I would have to say a lifetime. You know?
Yeah, because Miss Elliott made an impression on my children because of what she taught me and how she did.
Now, right there, that goes generations, lifetime. See, teacher.
I done brought my kids to my old elementary, and I told them about her. You know, like, that's what's, you know, the beautiful thing of that. And it's just like Brother B just said, it wasn't about a paycheck. That's what she wanted to do.
Exactly. And see, teachers need to get back on that aspect. If you're looking for a monetary reason why you're doing the whole teacher thing, wrong career for you. Totally
yep.
wrong career.
Well, that's why
you're molding our youth. It's not about the money.
Oh,
it's more than money to mold,
wait a
mold our youth.
I believe we have another caller here.
Another caller. This is 9012.
Yeah.
9012, you're on the air. Hello, 9012, you're on the air.
Hello?
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 Hello,
yeah,
we
hello.
Can hear you.
Yeah,
sorry, how you doing? This is Pierre, man. I just called. I was just trying to hurry up and check in, and I didn't even get a chance to even know what the topic was about. You know, I was just trying to check in, show some support, you know?
Oh, no doubt. Topic's about education. We're talking about school, talking about how some of these teachers are not the best role models for our children out here. Yeah, it's kind of... kind of crazy out there because we're sending our children out there to be educated and with actual life skills, and what happens if being educated on
a lot of times they're becoming
text messages.
They're coming out of school uneducated.
Like for example, Pierre, Brother Pierre, like did you have a teacher growing up that had an impact in your life?
Well, I can't really remember one at this time, but I remember, you know, remember I was telling you before how, you know, the difference now from the teachers back in the day. Remember I showed you, I was telling you about my report card, and there was a section down on the in the report card that you got, you know, when I was a kid, that said it was four options. One option was dentist, vision, malnutrition. I mean, it was nutrition and another. Section, but for me, the teacher had a dentist. And at first, when I saw it as an adult, I was like, wow, was this teacher, you know, what was she thinking trying to get in my business? But then, you know, I thought about it. After a while, I was like, wow, well, you know what? She cared that much because she didn't have to put that down there. And I have a feeling that I doubt that teachers are doing that today.
Oh, no, because if you look at it, those teachers that we had years ago, those are like the original ACS people. Those are the people that could look at your kid because they were with you all day. So they knew what was going on in your home just by looking at you. They knew something was wrong with you when you came into school that morning. Those are the original ACS people that were actually on top of the job.
I just took out my report card. It was four things. It was vision, hearing, dental, and nutrition.
Mm.
You know, and all three marking periods she put you know, dental. You know, like I said, she didn't have to put it, but she did because she cared.
Wow.
That was like a section. That was like a section that basically it was an assessment from the teacher.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they still do that today. You know.
Nah. I don't see that on my phone.
I just want to say, if there's any teachers out there listening right now, no, we're not beating up on teachers. We are just talking about how the education is from.
Listen,
now,
if they're good teachers, then they know the deal.
And if you are a good teacher, then thank you.
And call in. We'd love to hear from
please
the
call in.
Well, we got 11 minutes left, but please call in and, you know, state your case. Because like I said, we're giving our kids over to these people for seven to eight hours a day. And the whole thing is we expect you to do the right thing. So don't get mad when you do the wrong thing and we call you on it. Don't get mad. When you get caught out there and you can't, there's nothing you can justify because, once again, this is the youth. And if it's like a plant. If you put it in bad soils and you pour tainted dirty water on it, the plant ain't going to grow right. But if you know you give it good soil, you give it that sunlight, and you give it that good water, the plant is going to grow right. And that's the whole thing. Our kids are not growing right because of what? It's like Mo said, it's the parents, but it's also the system as well, because we, as parents, we have to fork our kids over to the system during the course of the day.
Yeah, combination.
So, it's a balance.
Yes, it does take a village to rear up a child.
Yeah, but now, once again, it's like nobody wants to be a part of the village no more. Because like Mo said, they too busy window shopping. They too busy, you know, taking kids somewhere, and they all about doing their own thing. Like, you know, you got people walking across the street, you know, texting on their phones. It's like, yo, pay attention. And we sending our kids to this school, and some of these teachers are not paying attention. Because, of course, I'm sure they got real life issues too. But at the same time, remember the overall objective.
Your job is to teach.
Oh, actually, if you call teaching a job, then you should not be a teacher. That should be your career. Should be your passion. Teaching the kids, educating the youth, that should be a passion. Just like with being a cop. You don't be a cop for the paycheck and for the badge. You be a cop because you want to go out there and you want to help. You want to make a difference. Exactly.
Right.
That's the same thing that teachers do. But I find interesting that they keep cutting the budget for the teachers, the people that really make the difference in our kids' lives. And what are you telling them? If you're telling them, like, hey, listen, we don't value you, how do you expect to get good teachers?
You can't.
Yeah,
and I had a
you really can't. There has to be like some type of incentive there for them. You know, I mean, I know that you can't pay them like hundreds of thousands of dollars, but then again, you can't make them just work for scraps either. You know, there has
to be a fine
balance.
But they should be getting paid more money because once again, they are responsible for our youth 6 to 8 hours, 5 days a week. They're responsible for them. So they should be rewarded. You know what I'm saying? They should be treated better. But that's not happening. And I don't know why. I mean,
like in Long Island, most of the fire departments are volunteer fire departments. And their school their school taxes is like the highest almost in the country.
Fact.
The schools are better.
Yeah, than the city, of course they are. I tried to go to a school in Long Island, but it wasn't my zone school, so I had to stay in the city.
I mean, how do you guys feel about the whole idea with the zone issue? Like, did you guys have to do that when you guys were coming out?
There was zoning, but it wasn't as strict as it is now, because now, like, it's within blocks of where you live.
Oh, they still do that now also?
Yes.
Well, I think now, if they did it then, now it's worse, because they'll try to bring charges against you if you got a kid in the wrong
Because my friend was living somewhere where his son was in school, and then he moved, and, you know, his son was only in third grade, so he was like, oh, yeah, he'll finish school because, you know, he'd been in there since third grade, and he had a fight to keep his son in that school.
Wow.
And now, you know, you're talking about, you know, kindergarten, first grade, second grade, third grade. He knows all the teachers. He's comfortable. He knows all all his peers are there and everything, and then they're saying he has to go to this school because now he moved to this area where it's almost like a whole new beginning.
Yeah,
you know, that's like basically just, you know, pulling a plant out of a garden and then planting it somewhere else.
Throwing them in new soil. Yeah, you don't know if it's going to grow or not. You don't know how. Fact.
What happened with me was that, you know, I don't know if you guys are too familiar with, you know, South Jamaica, Queens, but I was raised in 40 Projects. But what happened my mother used my stepmother's address over there by Kings Park. That was right across the street from Mary Macklin. So instead of me having to go to schools like PS40 or ISA, I went to Hillcrest and I went to 217. Even though those schools were, you know, similar in, you know, ethnicity, it still was a bit of a difference between, you know, I think of a social class, because, you know, when you think of you know, 40 projects, you think of low income housing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
And, you know, I think that was a big difference too. So I was just wondering if they still do.
Well, you better be careful. They might take your diploma back because of what you did.
Yeah, right.
That's serious out there.
I lived in Far Rockaway, and I actually went to Hillcrest to try to get in Hillcrest, and I actually took an exam. It was for the art program.
Yes.
And I had to do designs, and I had to take an actual test in art there, and I didn't get accepted.
Because I actually graduated from Hillcrest.
Okay.
Yeah. So big up to Hillcrest. To all the teachers in Hillcrest, please teach our children the right way. And if you're not teaching them the right way, change and teach them the right way. Because yes, the children are our future.
And you see how they did. You see how they did. Like for instance, I mean, I don't understand the ideology in this, but like Beach Channel High School and Far Rockaway High School, a couple of years ago, they actually spent millions of dollars on these schools, and they put football fields, artificial turf, beautiful everything,
yeah.
And then they're not high schools no more.
Really?
So what's
Far Rockaway High School is now it got closed last year.
Oh wow!
It was nothing for a year, and now they're trying to set up like three schools in one.
People, here we go again with this whole, you know, conglomeration of schools.
Yeah, they're trying to put
them all together.
Elementary.
You shouldn't mix it.
And what they're going to do is they're going to put an elementary, a junior high school, and the high school all in the same school, and they're going to keep these. They're going to keep these all the same kids together for 12 years and expect them to really succeed.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Hey, but you know what the sad part is, no one's listening. The politicians, you know what I'm saying? The politicians are doing what they want to do. No one's listening.
15 years down the line, 20 years down the line, some of these kids grew up and what school they went to, and then they'll look and go, you know what, that
we
didn't
failed.
Work.
Yep. We got to recall these vaccinations. They failed. But it's too late.
I'm sorry, I have one more question, too.
Okay.
Back in the sixth grade, my teacher, she had this thing, you know, a little Dropbox in which you can ask whatever questions you felt. And sometimes some of the questions were, you know, explicit as far as sexual content. Do you guys think that's the teacher going too far? Should she answer those questions? Because maybe they still do that now. You know what I mean?
They're going too far, man.
I would say.
I wish they would.
I mean, well, explicit sexual questions.
Well, it won't be relevant. Well, remember, we're dealing with sixth graders, so it's not going to be like that.
Curiosity
questions. You know what I'm saying?
Well, these kids today pretty much you just throw on, you know what I mean, Jim Jones or Drake or somebody, and they'll find Lil Wayne to tell them everything. You know.
So do you think the teacher is taking it too far if she answered those questions or?
It depends on it really depends on the age of the child, I believe.
Right.
I believe sex education should be taught to a child around the 14, 15, 16 year age.
Well, right. Basically, that should be left on the parents too.
This is how it should go.
Yo, real quick, we got a minute and a half left. So we gotta kind of wrap it up.
Yeah, that is true. I would just say this. Teacher has a pamphlet, you know, about starting on sex education to take home to the parents if they want the child to start it.
Right, permission slips or something.
Yeah, or to start in the home. But I do believe around that 14, 15 year age, it should start. I'm not talking about, you know, just ram on, but teaching a child about the human body, you know, about the sexual organs and how they work.
True that. And with that, listen, Brother L,
yes,
Mo, Pierre,
yes,
and B. Scott, you know, I want to thank everybody for calling in.
No doubt.
This concludes this episode. Hopefully,
we'll get to something more exciting. You know, well, this was good. But
definitely.
We'll have to jazz it up a little bit. Jazz it up next week. But thanks again for calling in. Thanks for everybody listening. It's the menu. And everybody mind your mental. Have a good night.
No doubt.
Good night, all.
Good night.
Good night. And more power to you. I love y'all too.
Good night.